was a little bit speechless after I had time to reorganize my mind, but it was a very great concert. And now I would like to tell you something. First, I was thinking you choose this venue because of the name, but as you were speaking about, if he wants to come in.
Okay, can we just pause a moment and let them get, okay.
You can't cut it.
Oh. Yes, we...
Okay, actually, if you need to get stuff, we should, why don't you get it now? We have to do this here.
Sorry, today. We have to do it here because of the noise thing.
It's okay.
Okay, good.
Epiphany project, Epiphany, it means in German something like the celebration of the appearance of the Lord.
Right.
It's Greek, okay. Epiphany. Yeah. And in general, the day on which the celebration takes place is the Three Kings Day. And here, this is
usually
church
in January 12th.
She's quite a detective.
I know.
And that's why we were thinking you choose this venue because of the name.
That sounds logical.
Yeah.
But we. But in Epiphany Project's case, the word epiphany is more for the meaning of a sudden inspiration, mm-hmm. of discovery or like a realization.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
An epiphany.
Like that.
I don't think you have that. I don't know if you have that same word in German, that meaning of the word epiphany, as a sudden burst of insight.
It's a Greek word. I found out. It's not a German word.
Yeah.
We call this day Dreikönigsee, mm-hmm. or Hohes Neujahr, High New Year.
Yeah.
It's January the 6th. Mm-hmm. Is this day.
Really, it's January 6th?
I thought 12th, January 6th.
In a lot of countries in the world,
right.
in a few parts of
it's
Germany.
It's Christmas, January 6th. In Armenia, Armenia, that's
right. That's right.
In Spain, too.
Ah,
here,
okay.
It's... Former, we celebrated this day sometimes, too, with a special meal or mm-hmm. something. But it never was a bank holiday. But I remember this day was very important in our family, especially, too.
Mm.
Yeah. I was born in GDR, so maybe this is more in this direction.
Right, yeah, I don't know.
Let's start with our interview.
Okay.
Sure. You... Was born in Armenia? Or?
No. I was born in America. I was born outside of Philadelphia, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my parents are both Armenian. Mm-hmm. For generations back, everybody's Armenian. They tend to be a very only marry each other. Yeah. I'm the first one not to do that.
But I'm an honorary Armenian. So I'm told in Armenia.
you are very often there, especially in Armenia and in Middle East. We read that you are very often in Middle East.
Mostly Armenia, yeah, not so much the Middle East. And it's funny, Armenia is such a funny place because I don't know whether people consider it to be part of the Middle East. I mean, it's really this kind of gateway between Europe and the Middle
Caucasus.
East. Yeah, the Caucasus are kind of its own thing.
Yeah. You know?
And it's also, it's just a very unique place, being the only Christian country in the middle of all these Muslim countries. It's very unusual. I think I would find it really fascinating, even if I wasn't Armenian. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I went there because I am Armenian, and it was this kind of discovery of roots and all that. And,
sure.
But then when I got there and seeing what the country's going through, and it's very interesting also coming to East Germany after that, how both these countries mm-hmm. were so affected by being part of the Soviet Union. And yet they're so radically different, and yet they were both part of the Soviet
same.
Union.
Yeah.
You know, and they're both dealing with now the collapse of the Soviet Union and dealing with very, very different problems. You know, Armenia had an incredibly tragic history. Many nations have, but Armenians, it seems particularly tragic. You know, it started out as this massive empire and then was gradually diminished and more diminished until finally this huge genocide in 1915, you know, Turkish genocide, where 3/4 of the population was wiped out and the rest were really made to leave. It was a very effective genocide in that way.
So now it's a very small country.
Yeah, and then the borders are all redrawn after the war. They found protection by being part of the Soviet Union, but then 70 years of Soviet rule didn't do them much good. I don't think neither Lenin nor Stalin really cared much about Armenia. And then at the end of it, I mean, everybody just was leaving. The best and the brightest, if you could leave, you left. And all the artists, all the scientists, many of the great minds, you know, just wanted to leave Armenia. Very common problem. And even now, because it's such an impoverished country, it's a really third world country. But what fascinates me about it is so many of the people there are still artists. You know, so many musicians, so many poets, so many writers, so many painters. And in some ways, because they're very out of step with the rest of the world, they're not as kind of... they're just now starting to be kind of steamrolled by popular culture, you know. Now popular culture is everywhere. We're used to it. In America, we're used to it. In Germany, we're used to it. Everything is popular culture. But there, because it's to a certain extent, I hate to use the word backwards, but it is a little bit backwards. And because of that, it's almost like going back in time. And they're just now starting to get, you know, ruined by popular culture. It's fascinating because the people are so, they hold their composers in such high regard and their writers. All the streets are named after famous composers and writers and everything. And
poets.
They're all so proud, oh, my son's going to be a musician, my daughter's a poet, you know.
Yeah.
In America, it's, oh, my son is on Wall Street, you know.
Sure.
Making money. There, it's not as it's not like that.
Why you founded the Epiphany Project, and you work with different musicians, or the musicians they were today on stage are always together with you?
No, Epiphany Project is basically Bette Williams and myself.
It's when we're writing together.
Yeah.
John, as a composer, works on his own thing, theater or, you know, classical music or other things by himself, and I do things on my own with guitar. It's more roots and kind of blues rock a little bit. But when we're together, this is for both of us, it's really a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's a really special thing that we just named Epiphany Project.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we wrote together, because it was so different. It's not blues or roots or, and it's not classical or jazz, but it's whatever this happens when we're writing together, Epiphany Project. So maybe it's...
That labeling thing she's talking about is really hard, just in a...
The name.
Professional context. Well, is it folk music? Is it classical music? Is it,
yeah.
You know, and it's not any of those things, really.
But we do play on different records with different musicians. You know, when we're in Armenia, we play with Armenian musicians there, and that's what the latest record is, this one, the Ahintach. And then when we're in America, we're playing with different musicians. We're really lucky to play with fine musicians from really all over the world. I think we might even go to Japan and China in the next year, and maybe we'll find some musicians there to play with. You know, for us, it's a wonderful discovery to play with new musicians. And
yeah, so that's always changing.
Yeah,
we're always shifting
changing.
That. Yeah.
Always.
How you would call the music you make? I was thinking, as we had the chance to listen to the soundcheck, and I was thinking it's Irish, it's North African a little bit. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, how you would call your music?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. It's very, very hard to label it, you know, to say, oh, it's this. And it's hard only because concert promoters are record companies, you know, they want to say, oh, this is jazz, this is classical, this is that, you know, this is... And it's not like people fusion, and it's not world music, because it's not...
It's not really world music, although it draws from that, and borrows from that. It's not folk, but it borrows from that. And classical, I was trained classically, but I'm not an opera singer, and I don't want to be, but I borrow from all these things. And
none of it is conscious. We don't say, oh, let's go do something that sounds Armenian, or let's do something that sounds Irish, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just what happens.
Maybe we'll come up with a name. I think we should have a contest and come up with a name.
My friend, Arto Chunkbayajan, is this very, in Armenia, very famous percussionist who actually played on our CDs.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful percussionist. And he calls the music avant-garde folk music.
That's like a
suspicious thing. Well, at first I thought, well, yeah, I don't know, that seems a little silly or a little too much or something. But I think it does make sense. It is like folk music, but it's a new sort of folk music, you know? It's folk in that it's basically simple in a lot of ways. Very tonal, simple chords and harmonies, but then you reinvent it and you recreate it. I think what we bring to this music that makes it interesting is two key things. One is Beth's voice, which is, I think, very, very, you know, very unique. I mean, as a singer, that's why we're married.
I better not lose my voice.
Yeah. Now
I know.
But, and as a performer, you know, it's a very unique thing.
So
but then also, from the piano standpoint, I like to just improvise. Even though there are songs that are specific songs, within that song, live, when we play live, I like to constantly be making it up, you know, constantly be finding it, make it new every night. So I think that's what keeps it interesting. And why the performances are always so, they're different. Everyone is different because I don't know how to play the songs the same way each time. And I think Beth doesn't know. I know she moves a lot, but those moves are not, oh, the same moves every night. They're always different as to what she's doing.
You are living in New York.
Yeah.
It's a very big town. If I hear you speaking about Armenia, then I have got the feeling that you like Armenia too, where you really feel home.
Where do we really feel at home? We love New York. New York is a great city because of the energy and the people from really everywhere in the world, all coming together, living together in New York. Like, I don't know where else in the world it's really like
that. That is the beauty of New York.
It's the beauty of New York
us,
for
that...
all different cultures and
rich people, poor people,
yeah.
Asian, African,
musicians,
European, everything,
business,
and they're all in Central Park playing together, you know, and
yes.
That's getting along pretty peacefully. It's kind of remarkable. New York is very different from the rest of America,
yeah.
You know, which we're a little ashamed of right now, you know, because of everything politically. It's, but New York is a really...
The government.
New York's a very exciting place.
Oh, I love New York. But then sometimes when you're in New York, you think, okay, I need to leave for a little while. It's noisy, it's busy, and that's good. But then I think when we go to Armenia, that place for me is in my heart, you know. You can see Mount Ararat from Yerevan, which is the city where we stay. You can see this huge mountain, and then you drive 10 minutes outside of the city, and it's just mountains and villages and, you know, people and animals crossing the street. You have to, it's cows and, you know, sheep. I love both. I think we need both.
Yeah. But the home that we own...
Oh, this is funny.
...is in Woodstock, New York.
Woodstock, New York.
you know, Woodstock, where the concert was. Yeah. We have a farm.
We have
a farm in Woodstock, New York. That's where our recording studio is, where we made this record and this record.
We made all those records. In Woodstock.
Yeah.
But right now we're not staying there. We're going back there, actually.
Yeah. So we live in Woodstock sometimes, in New York City sometimes, in Armenia sometimes. But then we travel a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we're in Germany a lot. We're in Switzerland, France.
Yeah, we thought about maybe...
I think especially you, but would miss this traveling. As you were younger, you traveled a lot with your parents. Mm-hmm. So
we traveled all over. We lived here, and every 3 years we moved somewhere new. My parents always took us to new countries, and I love that. I love to travel. And we take our son with us. We have a 4-year-old, and we take him. I hope he seems to love it. So all the different people he meets, yeah.
In how many languages do you sing?
I sing in many languages. I only speak 3 or 4, but on the CD, the ancient Aramaic, mm-hmm. which is a really beautiful language, and Armenian, of course, and then also Sanskrit. Singing a song in Sanskrit, and
Avestan,
which is kind of Indo, I don't know where that comes from, and Hindustani kind of a language on the new CD. It was all, I had different coaches helping me with the languages, and for me, I love language. I love the origin of words, how similar languages are, where people were far away, but there are similarities in the words and the meaning and the feel. And to sing in different languages for me is such a freeing, it's so free to be able to sing these different vowel sounds or the ch's and the different, for me as an instrument, if my voice, when I think of it as an instrument, that's really exciting.
And that in turn influences the way the musical sounds,
yeah,
or how we
true.
Orchestrate
that's
the music,
true.
What instruments we choose, or, you know.
Yeah. It's always so, you know, sometimes I'm sure I'm not pronouncing something correctly, or, you know, some of the languages are so ancient, no one's speaking them, so who knows what they really exactly sound like. So I like to take them and experiment a little bit with them.
I see this, yes.
Yeah.
Swahili. Is that
a
language?
There's a Swahili, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swahili. It's interesting.
Yeah.
One question to this disc. The title is Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your name or is it the word Tibet?
Tibet, right. Yeah, that's a good question. They're both the same word. This is my name, like... Bet. This is me, this is my CD. It's we didn't know what to call it, so we called it Bet. Right?
I think titles are the hardest thing. For me, titles are the hardest thing. I create a whole CD or write a whole anything, but then to title it.
Here are some of John's titles. MMU 14.
Mine are just like
on his solo
categories,
CD.
Like
MMU 14. Okay.
Piano music
piano
number
three.
5. Yeah.
Piano 5.
And what means MMU?
I don't know.
It
was a long time ago. It's a ways of categorizing these different sketches I was creating. And then one of them would come to life, and then that one was is a little scientific. And this music is a little kind of scientific in a way, in that it's very kind of numbers-based.
Mathematical.
Have you got favorite musicians or especially kind of music you love? Music, it inspires you. Or have you got special songs by you? You would say, this is... The music, it shows our life, our career. Are there songs? Can you say something about a few songs?
Seems like those are maybe two different questions. I mean, because I mean, RCDs, it is interesting. If you look at all the different recordings we've done, I guess many of them sound extremely different, you know. So maybe it's an almost schizophrenic existence, you know, that schizophrenic, many different people inside one person. Because, like, you know, some of Bette's records, you know, the Alive, and this is very bluesy, rootsy, and then this is very esoteric and maybe mathematical orchestral music, and then the Epiphany Project stuff is this very kind of world music, jazzy, classical thing. So many, but they're all us, too. They're all very much us and just different aspects of us. And in terms of our influences, I think the other question was about influences, other musicians that we like. And I think they're very different for both of us. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about yours first?
Sure. I mean, when I was a child, my parents were playing some classical music, but then also music theater, like... you know, the musical Hair they would play, and, you know, all these different music theater things. And then they had also Simon and Garfunkel, they had that record, and they had Cat Stevens, so I listened to those records and loved those. And then, but then my mother would take me, we were living in Germany, and she would take me to hear different singing groups, like the boy choirs, the boys choirs. And I loved that. It was just fascinating, you know. And then in college, I sang, you know, Joni Mitchell, and then Kate Bush was a big influence for me. I loved those women singers who were doing something different with their voice and really writing poetry and putting that out there, you know, with their voice and their uniquely, you know, woman's point of view. So those were big influences for me. Which we have one in common, right, John? We have a couple in common.
Yeah, because I think mine are very different. I mean, my parents didn't play any music other than Armenian music, you know, and that's what I heard growing up.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I got very interested in piano, and it was always very classical piano. Even if young people were listening to rock and roll, I was not into rock music at the time at all, and it was just everything was classical music. So you had a lot of Armenian music, and then classical music, and then jazz. I got very interested in jazz and improvisation. You know, traditional people like Bill Evans, but also the more avant-garde people like Cecil Taylor, and then really, really fell in love with Keith Jarrett, especially the solo records. You know, Keith Jarrett, I love what he does and what he's been through so many different things. And then Steve Reich as well is also another very big influence, I think.
Yeah.
And if anything, that's what our music is kind of like. It's like a mix of like Steve Reich, Keith Jarrett, and then maybe Joni Mitchell, which is three very, very different things. And then with this world music element too, and then this classical music element. So it's schizophrenic.
Yeah. It's schizophrenic.
We want to make in radio special, it's about 1 hour, and we would like to play music. Now we have just this one. Can you...
We'll give you the whole collection.
Yeah, sure. you can play one from each.
Sure.
We'll
And can you tell us which song we have to play, because it shows what you are.
Oh, that's interesting. Sure. Let's see. Probably. Yeah, you want to just kind of figure that out?
I can say the ones I would say, and maybe you'll agree.
Okay. Yes. Ah. Hi. Do they need to sleep? It's okay.
From that one, if you want to circle them or write them down, I would say Chadens from this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Chadens, the song Chadens.
Chadens
1.
Chadens 1.
Mm-hmm. Will you remember that, or you want to write that down? Chadens 1.
I heard this. Okay. You must say the album and the title.
Okay, so from Hinda.
Yeah, sure. From Hinda, this one, the new Epiphany Project, the book, Chadens 1, I believe it's the second cut. Yeah?
Then from Epiphany Project, our first record, I would say either number 12, Goth. just because it's so unusual.
I would say gone.
Our number one, gone.
Gone.
You can play both.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. They're very different.
Yes.
Or then from this one, I would say maybe desire.
Yeah.
Maybe desire, because we like
that. Or 10,000 miles.
Yeah, we found you.
Yes. Yeah, for sure, we did desire.
And then I'll say mine. I would say the first cut from piano 5, which I think is track number 7 from this. And then I'll let Bette talk about her records.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. From Bette, I would say Dragonflies. Yeah? Or Intuition.
No, Dragonflies.
Dragonflies, number 2.
Number 2, Dragonflies.
That was written for our son when he was just in the... Little ultrasound after that. And then on the live CD, let's see. What's a good one on this,
number
John?
Number one.
Come Into My Kitchen. Yeah, number one is an old Robert Johnson tune.
Very old blues
tune.
Yeah.
Come in my kitchen, because it's going to be raining outdoors. That's good. Rose Tattoo, Thunder and Storm.
Ooh La La.
Ooh La La.
Yeah, this is
Ooh La La.
Funny song.
Number 3. Yeah.
Now you have the whole collection.
Oh man.
They just did that. They tricked the whole collection out.
I think
now we
have to make 2 hours because we're
okay.
It's no problem.
Okay.
2 hours.
Oh yeah, okay, great. Cool. That's so great.
We speak during the concert and sometimes your voice is called Captain Melissa Isridge.
Yeah.
That's so interesting,
yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh well then you hear something
voice,
different in these?
What's the sound? Yeah. Jake, I was thinking. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, so I can see that.
That's so funny, sure.
Some people say Tori Amos, too.
Or even Bonnie Raitt, you know, this kind of thing. Sometimes.
Oh, Lorena McKennitt, you know Lorena McKennitt?
I love that all, so it's. Yeah. That's nice.
And last week we interviewed Maggie Riley in Spirits, and she is a different voice from you, but. It's really great.
She can play with her voice too, but in a different way. She's using her voice in a very different way than you are doing.
Wow.
These are great voices, but this is always so very, very different how somebody is using a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Using voice as an instrument, you said.
It's fantastic. Cool. So, and now one question, you have some kind of another project. It's called Postcards from
Beulah.
Postcards from Beulah.
Beulah. I found out this town or what it is, Beulah, it exists very often in USA, but is it really... based in USA?
Oh, it's actually a name of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was writing those postcards. Mm. Yeah. One of the other things that we both are very interested in is kind of music theater, kind of opera.
Yeah, like new opera.
A new form of opera, you know.
Not music theater like da 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 da.
Not musicals,
not
that, American
but something
musicals.
More,
and not just classical opera, you know, and that type of. Singing with a lot of vibrato and then extreme ranges and whatnot. But, you know, it's hard. It's a very interesting form, and I don't see a lot of it that I really like, you know. But I love theater. I love going to plays and theater, and I love music, obviously. And yet I don't know that there's a lot of people that are doing music theater, you know, sung theater in ways that I really like. So there's two pieces that we're working on together. There's a piece that I've written that just recently had a reading in New York. That's when we're not touring, we're working on these little opera
theater
things.
Music opera things. John just got actually just got 2 awards. One award for this piece he's working on in New York, and then now another award to keep working on this piece, which is a great thing. And they'll be doing it in Vermont.
Yeah, we did a reading of it in New York.
We did it in New York.
It takes a long time. Yeah. It's hard to get these
things
going.
You know, it's a whole theater piece with actors and singers. And
And it's very hard because to find a good writer, you know, that you can really work with and feel compatible with, and then, you know, to have the music work and then to have the right performers and everything, it's really very, very tricky.
There is a Pula Kuh, an American actress we found. This
Beulah?
Yeah, Beulah.
Yeah.
Well, that piece, Postcards from Beulah, is actually Bette's grandmother was named Beulah. And the idea for the piece is she lived on this farm, terrible farm, like nothing could grow there. It was just a horrible farm. Her husband was very depressed, you know, ended up killing himself. And yet she would write these postcards saying, oh, everything is nice here, everything is good, you know, just living in total denial. So that's the kind of idea for the piece, and that's what we've been developing, and that's why it's called Postcards from Beulah.
So I think we are on the end of our interview. Can you speak a station ID for our radio station?
Sure.
Radio T is the name of our radio station. And,
I know. Luda told me. Yeah, Luda said, you're coming, okay.
We are in Chemnitz and 102.7 megahertz. If you want, whatever you want to say.
How exactly would you like
us
to say?
Yeah, how would you like us to say?
There is no exactly way we want. Whatever you want to say, you can introduce yourself, you can say the project, and...
Why don't you say, I'm Bette Williams from the 50 Project you're listening to.
This is Bette Williams from Epiphany Project, and this is Radio T in Chemnitz. Yeah?
Chemnitz.
It's Chemnitz. It's Chemnitz. Radio T, Chemnitz, 102.7 MHz.
Megahertz?
Megahertz.
Megahertz. Yeah. Okay. I think you spoke too much. I think
you
have
too quick. You can't use that as an IT.
Yeah. Oh, how about this? This is Bette Williams from Epiphany Project, and you're listening to Radio T.
Good.
This is John Hodian from Epiphany Project. You're listening to Radio T, Chemnitz, 102.7.
Like a professional.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for waiting. Sorry to keep you waiting so long.
We had real luck that we have tomorrow only.
Good.
We have to work so late, so we really have time. But tomorrow you don't have any concert. Tomorrow you
no concert.
No,
tomorrow.
We
That's
drive
why
back. We go get Jack. Everything's cool.
You're talking about hair.
Yeah, hair.
So, yes, hair, the musical.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's for 40 years, 1968.
Yeah.
About 40 years. And I bought last week, I think, or for 2 weeks, the German version. Oh. Haare.
Wow, there's a German
They sing it in German?
Yes. They sing in German.
Are the lyrics are all German?
Everything?
All the lyrics are in German.
Oh, I gotta hear
I gotta hear it too. I gotta hear it. That's awesome.
The first song, Aquarius, also Wassermann. Yeah. It's singing by Donna Summer.
She sings in German.
She sings it in German?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
She can speak perfect German.
Donna Summer?
Yes.
They wrote. And she's singing this song 40 years ago. And in December she gets 60. So she was 20 and she was in Germany. And this is...
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yes. Wait, so Donna Summer is 60?
She gets 60 in December.
60. Yeah.
The world.
And that's why we were looking for special things by her, because we want to make a broadcast about her in December.
I think that's awesome.
While her birthday, let's say.
Yeah.
And so we found out that 40 years ago, this German version of Hair
played in Munich.
Yeah.
Wenn der Moon ist in the sieben
I only know the English version.
He
was playing the German version, and I was thinking it sounds really strange.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
It's music, but it's different. You different words. And it's,
yeah, they must. Sure, to make it rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
She studies German and sing. She makes two musicals in Germany.
Oh, really?
The first was Haare Hair in German, and the second was Good Spell in German.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, where we
were. 2 years later. And she can be married in German.
That's
great. Oh, did she?
Yes. First name was Donna Gaines. Real name.
Oh, really?
Yes. Huh. And she married the German Helmut Sommer.
A summer in Germany.
Oh,
summer.
My God.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why they called Donna Summer.
Wow.
What a trip.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
danke. Danke für alles.